AUN, American Underground Network.
The primary reason why the individual citizens of a country create a political structure is a subconscious wish or desire to perpetuate their own dependency relationship of childhood. Simply put, they want a human god to eliminate all risk from their life, pat them on the head, kiss their bruises, put a chicken on every dinner table, clothe their bodies, tuck them into bed at night, and tell them that everything will be all right when they wake up in the morning. This public demand is incredible, so the human god, the politician, meets incredibility with incredibility by promising the world and delivering nothing. So who is the bigger liar, the public or the godfather?
All revolutions have been led by young people. If you just think of the TV images of whether it's Tiananmen Square or whether it's the revolts in Central America or Europe, it's the young people, it's the college people who are more principled and not locked in and they're not embedded with the government. They are the ones who are concerned about the future because the future is theirs.
My research has shown at this point that the future laid out for us may be just about impossible to change. I do not agree with the means by which the powerful few have chosen for us to reach the end. I do not agree that the end is where we should end at all. But unless we can wake the people from their sleep, nothing short of civil war will stop the planned outcome.
It's the National Collected Consciousness Show with Dee Dee Farrell in Portland, Oregon, Jim Condit Jr. in Cincinnati, Ohio, Steve Harris in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, live from Evanston, Illinois, your host, Fred Smart.
Hey, thanks everyone for your patience as we tried to get and have successfully established a connection with our first guest, all the way from Brisbane, Australia, Max Egan. Is it Egan or Egan, Max?
It's Egan, actually.
Egan. Sorry. Everyone, it's like a birthing process. Max is going to be presenting to us tonight a very powerful idea that concretely we all receive important stimuli, energies in the form of ideas every day, whether we like it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not. And much of what we talk about on this call over the last 6.5, 7 years are the sea of ideas that are out there as we're trying to visualize, see, gather together, network, organize, whatever. But Max has got a video. It's on our newsletter. It's called The Full Circle Project. It sounds like you've been to every stretch of the Freedom Patriot movement, Max, globally. You've touched a lot of bases in your pursuit as you tried to get your voice out over the last several years. We are very honored to have you on this call. I think I've run into your videos in the past dealing with commercial, all kinds of things that you've done online over the years, but you've kind of summed it up in a very powerful, distilled way, and you're going to present tonight this idea, and I hope everyone gets empowered and gets energized with you sharing it. So thank you so much, Max, for coming on. It looks like we have a pretty good connection. I'm just going to read the short snippet of the mission. To embark on initiatives to bring mankind full circle back to their natural state of abundance through positive common sense action undertaken by the people themselves. And Max, you alluded to in your video the programming that we are constantly being bombarded to believe in a disempowered way that we do not have the power, that we cannot organize, and that there really isn't any hope. So this program of hopelessness is actually very organized, very structured, and very powerful. And like you said, the people that are putting this programming out have gotten together, they have organized, they have networked, and they are broadcasting this disempowered, disunited, hopeless message. And we are receiving it. We've been reacting to that in kind, but at the same time, the negativity and the hopelessness actually can lead to a birth and a recognition of our true power. If you can get into that in the message, I'm sure you will. So thank you, Max, for coming on and presenting your Full Circle Project vision and the full power of this idea.
Well, thank you very much for asking me on. It's a great honor to be here, and it's a great honor to be able to share the idea with people. And you're absolutely correct about the power of an idea. You know, the idea that you are disempowered. You know, where did you get that from? Is that really your idea, or is that a program that you're running? Did someone else give you that idea? Because when you look at the media, you look at the mainstream media, it's just a bombardment of how terrible the world is, and how unsafe the world is, and how much you need the government there to protect you. That's all the news gives you. And when you look at the alternate media, unfortunately, a large section of it is telling you that there is this terrible hidden hand called the Illuminati, who are all powerful, and there's nothing that we can really do other than be aware that they're there. And I think that's a very disempowering way to look at things, because ultimately they're a very small group of people, and the system that they use to control you is fiction. It's a fictional system. It's a paper-based reality. It's a corporate system. It's all revolves around the birth certificate and this whole corporate Vatican system they've created. And that's a whole another rabbit hole. But essentially it's fiction. The whole problem that we face here, really, if you look at the world, we've got a whole bunch of very, very disturbing symptoms that are happening in this world. Every problem that we think is a problem in itself may well be a problem unto itself, but ultimately it's a symptom of a larger problem. Things like Fukushima, things like the wars, the oil spills, the depopulation, the starvation, the homelessness, the deforestation, all of these problems unto themselves are actually symptoms of a larger problem, because all of these symptoms exist solely because of the corporate rape of the planet, which is allowed and condoned and constructed through legislation that's put in place by governments. What are governments? Governments are a group of public trustees that we employ to manage our infrastructure for us. So ultimately, the problem comes with us not controlling our trustees. Why don't we do that? We don't do that because our trustees teach us to be divided from each other. They teach us to be disempowered. They give us social structures to measure ourselves up to, economic structures to measure ourselves up to. They project a false reality to us on the television, and they keep us divided while they, small group that they are very, very organized. So there's your clue right there. It's the divided state of society, which is the root of the entire problem that we face. Well, why is society divided? We're divided because we measure ourselves up to false parameters, because we don't know who we are, because we're trained not to know who we are. And that's what this project's all about. I mean, there's a lot of movements that start. There's been like the Zeitgeist movement, the Venus Project, the OPPT. There's been all sorts of things that have been tried. And these are all movements, and people go there and they get lectures, and people over-intellectualize to them, and they all get their DVD and their pamphlet, and they go home and they show the DVD to their friends. They feel like they're making a difference, but they join this movement and they wait for the group, the movement that they've joined, to save the world. But no, you have to participate yourself by knowing who you are and changing your perspective of what the world is and how you interact with it. That's what I'm trying to let people know. And what I want to do with the Full Circle Project is create a platform that can be used in every single community around the planet, where we can start local grassroots initiatives to re-educate people, reorient people, and to push the envelope with our governments and our local councils, and get these local councils and governments to explain their authority to us. Because if you ask them the right questions in the right way, you'll find that they have no authority, because all the authority that they have, they get from us. We've just got to change our perspective of how we deal with these people. Now, through years and years of research, I've finally realized that there is no remedy in the legal system. There is no remedy in anything that this system has constructed, because the system has constructed it to protect the system and to tie you up in red tape. But there's a higher harmonic than the whole thing. You know? So this is what I want to do with the Full Circle Project. And it's about bringing people's ideas on board as well and nurturing these ideas. Also, I want to create a fund whereby we can start buying back large sections of Amazon rainforest, because this is severely under threat and it needs our attention, because it's under threat from Western interests that, again, all go back to control of our governments that we have lost. So this is what I need to concentrate on. We need to concentrate on global initiatives that are going to make a difference, like buying sections of Amazon and showing the world that we can do it, you know, because no one's going to save it if the people don't. So we should pay attention to that. and empowering local communities, getting a fund together whereby we can put on workshops. You know, if you've got an idea that's going to work in your community, it's going to push the envelope and re-educate people, hopefully we can fund that through this foundation. You know, if we can get people to contribute to this foundation, we can create this fund and create this global movement, which isn't really a movement. It's simply an idea whose time has come. It's a shift in the perspective. It's tipping the balance back into the hands of the people, the balance of power. Because if we don't do this, if we continue to go down the path of looking for remedy within a system which has been constructed to enslave us, then we're just flirting with our own destruction. We're never, ever going to find remedy in that system. You know, the ultimate problem is the disempowerment of the people, and that's where I believe the focus has to be, re-empowering the people.
Max, could you take us back to was there a day, a time in your life that you, a light went on, the idea that you, was it as a child that you saw or observed something was wrong in our world? You've obviously been on this path for many, many years, but can you
recall? I was 4 years old, actually.
I was
4 years old. I was in the national park with my parents. It was the first time I'd ever been to a national park. And we were walking around in the forest, and it was beautiful. And I thought, wow, this is like so much better than our house. You know, we had a nice house with a nice backyard and all that in Adelaide, Australia, South Australia. We went up to the national park, and I thought, this is beautiful. Why are we living down there? Why can't we come and live here? And I said to my mother, why can't we come and live here? This is so much better than down there. Let's come and live here. And she said, oh, we can't. And I said, why? And she said, we don't own the land. And I went, what do you mean own the land? And she said, well, we have to own land to live there. I said, well, who owns the land? She said, the government. I said, how did they get it? The whole concept that you could own, I didn't know that we owned our house, or we thought we owned our house. I thought it was just where we lived. The whole concept of ownership, when I became aware that we couldn't live somewhere because people thought they could own a part of the earth. I was 4 years old, and a light went off in my head, and I went, this is all messed up. I remember a couple of weeks later, my best friend, I was a very solitary child, my best friend was my little stuffed teddy bear. I remember walking around the yard with my teddy bear when I was 4 years old, talking to my teddy saying, this is all messed up, Teddy. The world isn't supposed to be like this. What am I doing here? How did I come to this place? What's going on? You know, so I was 4 years old, and I thought this is wrong. So it's been a lifelong quest for me to find out exactly what's going on. And ultimately, I think the problem is that people have forgotten themselves. They've forgotten who and what they are, and you can't blame them for it because they've been trained to be this way. People, they don't even understand the language that they speak. They don't understand the words that they use. They're trapped in a system of word magic as it is. The whole system is word magic. Great quote by Terence McKenna. I was actually on an interview earlier this morning, and someone mentioned it, where he said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said that the world is made of words, and once you understand words, you can change the world, you can control the world. But people don't understand words. People don't understand the language that they use. They don't understand the language that they speak. They just think it's a string of syllables, and sentences are designed with pronouns and this and that. And they don't really understand what they're saying. And not only that, they're trained to think in language. So you got this internal chatter going on all the time. So you're thinking of language in reality, and you don't really understand the language that you're using. Language is all a series of spells. It's all word magic, the whole thing. You know, it's a really, really interesting way humanity is trapped. But I think ultimately the problem is that people don't know who and what they are, and so therefore they don't respect themselves, so therefore they don't respect people around them. They're kept in a constant state of scarcity because of a totally corrupt economic system that we're enslaved to. It's been like superimposed over our minds, and it's not real. None of it's real. You know, all this debt and all this stuff, it's ridiculous. You know, we've constructed a system which apparently was constructed to service mankind's needs, and yet because it's based on an economic model, what it's done is it's made mankind the most expendable thing within the parameters of the system, so that mankind and humanity and sections of humanity are discarded all along the way in order to balance the books. And we need to step back and look at this. And, you know, you're not going to find remedy in the system. It's got to come down to the people. And our other choice is to stay within the parameters of the system and allow this planet to be destroyed and this race to be enslaved and the world to keep going, sailing off the cliff. Basically, and I think it's time we paid attention, you know.
Now, Max, the tipping point you mentioned between this accelerated devolvement into negativity, you know, call it a black hole, versus the tipping point into what I would like to consider, you know, to be the light, like a birth of a new sun. Could you go back into kind of what you emphasized in the first part of that video? Everything in reality, in our reality, begins as an idea with individuals, with you, with I, with and we've been somehow brainwashed into not believing that, or not considering that, or not seeing that for what it really is.
Yeah, not comprehending what that really means. You know, the power of that and the truth of that. Yeah, you know, every single thing around you is the result of an idea that somebody had. The chair that you're sitting on, the desk that you're sitting at, the microphone that you're speaking to, the computer that you're sitting on, the idea that you are a slave, the idea that this system is real, the idea that you are disempowered, is this your idea? But ultimately, it comes from the mind of one person, everything. This whole system, this control grid, ultimately came from the mind of one person. And the power of an idea is incredible. What makes you think that you can't have an idea that will gain its own power? And what is an idea? You know, when an idea is born, they say that an idea is born. It's born. It has its own life. It's an energetic thing. You know, so you have this idea, you have that light bulb moment. And there's a trick you can play. Rather than taking all these steps and structuring a structure whereby you're going to make this idea happen, you can just take sort of vague steps and keep a lookout in your life for little synchronicities that are going to breed this idea and help this idea grow on its own organically. Because once you create that life form, it has a life of its own. Once an idea is born, it is truly born. And if it's a good idea and it wants to happen, it will happen. And reality will provide you with the synchronicities you need to make the idea happen. But somehow we've had the idea put into our minds that we have to do what this system says, that we are controlled, that the Illuminati is all-powerful, and that a little person can do nothing. You're just a little person. But ultimately what we have here is a whole world that is made up of little people. That's all we have here. It's just people. It's just that some people have been able to control the ideas that other people have. That's a real problem with the whole thing. You know, the idea that you're disempowered, the idea that you're not powerful, the idea that you're the name. You're your name. You are this name on this birth certificate and this whole thing, this whole corporate system that we go into. This is a really interesting idea as well. You know, see, because through this corporate system, people have forgotten their flesh. They've forgotten the power of their flesh. They've forgotten the power of themselves. And they're locked within this dead corporate system with which they're never, ever going to find any remedy because they don't know their way through it. And you'll never find a way through it. What you've got to do is remember who and what you are so you can step above it. Because once you can step above it, you can ask the right questions to the right people and just get them to explain themselves, and you'll find that they incriminate themselves within their own system, and their whole system breaks down. You know, so that's where it's got to be. The focus has got to be. It's got to be on people rediscovering themselves. That's the answer to the whole thing. It really is. You know, this whole nanny state that has been constructed around us, it's just an idea. It's an idea that you need government, an idea that you need someone to look after you, an idea that you can't look after yourself. But are these your ideas? You know, we never really have ideas. We control what ideas we can have because we always kept on the treadmill because we got the idea that we're broke. We got the idea that we need money, which is all designed to keep us in scarcity, keep us ever really discovering ourselves, you know. So you just got to step back and look and see what we've got here. But I think that all the darkness, all the negativity that's happening, I think it's necessary. You can't have the light without the dark. Without all of this bad stuff happening, we would not be provided with what we have, which is an opportunity to rediscover ourselves in a manner that we have never done before. You know, we've been locked into this system so long. And the reason this system is getting so negative and trying to lock people down so much is because it's scared, because it's its own energetic life form as well. And it's scared. And the people that are running this place, they're scared because people are waking up in exponential curves. And as soon as people wake up to the ultimate truth that the whole system that's being used to enslave them is fiction, then it's game over. You know, because a lot of people are waking up and they're still locked within the fiction. They're still sending off forms and sending their birth certificates off to the Vatican and filling out paperwork and claiming their freedom and all of this sort of stuff. It's all fiction. The whole lot's fiction. It's all paper-based. It's none of it's real. You know, the truth is, the real truth is your flesh and your life, the essence of you. that inhabits that flesh. No one can take that away from you. And if you know how to approach this system from that perspective, you can circumvent the whole thing. And that's what they're in fear of, which is why they're trying to lock things down so quickly at the moment. But it's all a blessing. It's a gift. It's the greatest opportunity we've ever had for freedom. And without that darkness, this opportunity for light would simply not be here.
You know, Max, to use a mathematical analogy, every number comes from one, goes through prime, and is either prime or non-prime. And what you're kind of saying is that they have convinced us, this programming has convinced us, that a non-prime number cannot be factored, that it is impossible to find the prime root of anything, of you, of me, namely that the diamond, the core of the essence of who we really are, in a matter of speaking, corresponding to like a prime number, that it doesn't exist, that we can't find it. Now, that's a pretty massive amount of programming that's done to get us to believe that.
what it's basically done is put a veil over everything but the prime numbers. It isn't that they've convinced you that they're not real, that you have no power there. You just don't see it. You don't even know it's there to even have an opinion of whether you can use it or not. You know what I mean? It's just hidden from your view. This is the left and right brain. They've closed down the right brain on most people. So most people can't look at things holistically. They don't know who they are because they can't connect to the energy field because they're trained to think in language. And language is a program. You're spelling reality. You go to school, the first thing they teach you is how to spell. You're spelling reality. You look at this desk. You spell desk in your head. That's what it is, defined by that word. What is freedom? Mm-hmm. You want to know what freedom is. You look in the dictionary. This is what freedom is. Freedom isn't defined by a word. Freedom is a feeling. It's a knowing. You know, once you write it down as a word and you define its meaning, then you can change that meaning. Hang on, now freedom looks like this, and now it looks like this, and now it looks like this. And suddenly you're not free anymore because it's defined by the word. You're defined by the written language. You know, people say, you know, a spell is a series of words. No, a word is a series of spells. You know, you're trained to think in language, and you don't even really understand what the language is. I was talking to someone earlier, and I said to them, if someone asks you, what is your name? Okay, what is my name? What does that sentence even say? What is my name? What is your name? You're not asking me, you're asking me for what name is mine. What name do I own? Okay, it's an ownership thing. Well, personally, I don't believe in ownership. I don't believe I can own anything. I don't even own my body. It's just on loan for a while. I certainly can't own any objects or any possessions because, you know, after I'm gone, this desk will still be here. The land that I believe I own, that'll still be there. Everything will still be there. Not that I own any land, but you know what I mean? This is all permanent stuff. What I am is temporary. I'm in a temporary vessel. How can I possibly own anything? I don't even own the vessel. So you're asking me, what is my name? What name do I own? Well, the only name that I could possibly claim any ownership to at all, in absolute truth and honesty, after careful research, that I can tell you without frivolity or vexation, is that my name is Man. And that is based on peer-reviewed information from the Anthropological Society. It's the best that I've got to go on. Okay, that's about the only name that I can actually claim ownership to, not that I can really claim ownership to it because everybody else can claim ownership to it at all. The other name you're referring to is the name agreed upon by the government and my parents in an agreement they made. If you look at my birth certificate, you'll find that there's nothing to do with me on there. This is an agreement for an entity created by my parents and the government. That's not me. I don't own the name. You look at the birth certificates, it's got government stamps all over it. So obviously they own that name. If you're asking me for my name is Man. If you're asking me to claim that name that was agreed upon by my parents and the government, you're asking me to commit fraud. I don't own that name. The government does. Here's their stamps all over it. And if you're going to say you're going to arrest me if I don't claim that name, that I put it to you that you are threatening me with terrorism in order to carry out what is essentially entrapment, because you're asking me to commit fraud, thereby putting myself into your jurisdiction. This is the way the language works, you see. It's not my name. How can it possibly be my name? My name is Man. This is the biological. I'm alive. I'm not an entity. That Max Egan, that's my calling. That's what people call me if they want me, if I have to interact with that corporate system. That's what they call me. It's not my name. My name's Man. If you have a debate with that, take it up with an anthropologist. You know? So it's how the language works. We claim the name. As soon as we've done that, we've committed fraud. We're under their jurisdiction, and we're not the name. We're not that. We're not a birth certificate. We're not a word. We're not ink spots on a piece of paper. We are a living vessel with a sentient life inside of it that's been granted this vessel to experience reality from the unique perspective that it has. Why don't we know that about ourselves? That's the problem. Because once you know that about yourself and you can see yourself from that perspective, suddenly you respect yourself. I'm perfect. I'm perfect at being Max Egan. No one can be Max Egan better than me. So why would I consider myself not to be perfect? So therefore I can see you as being perfect because you're just a different frequency, inhabiting a different vessel, having a different experience. Why would I possibly have a problem with you? That's your experience. So I can respect you for being what you are. And if you're misguided and you're trying to inflict this system upon me because you're a police officer or whatever, I don't hate you for it. You're just misguided. I'm just here to point out to you that you don't have any jurisdiction over me because I'm alive. The only words I need in your legal system that even you or I need to can discuss at all are two words called sui generis, which means I am unique and I am under my own jurisdiction. And you can prove that. Take a copy of my fingerprints or my DNA. You'll find that it's completely unique. So even under your law, I'm sui generis. But because I'm sui generis, I can't inflict myself on you. I don't care what you think. You can be in that system if you want. I don't care. I don't want to hurt you. Don't want to arrest you. Not offended by you trying to arrest me. You simply didn't know. I've just pointed out the reality to you. So now you can go away. If you want to continue it, hey, I'll prosecute you for slavery under your own system because I'm flesh. That's who I am. And you can't coerce me or entrap me into committing fraud because that is also illegal under your own legal system. If you want to go there, hey, take me away. But that's the path that we're taking if this goes to court. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So what you're kind of referring to, Max, from the ground up, spiritually centric, at the core, a re-education in a very simplistic, powerful way to who we really are. And it's...
The thing is that that's the only solution
there is. It's the age-old question.
You see, that's the only solution there is. See, there is no solution. There is no remedy within this system. There is no protest you can mount. There's no movement you can join.
Yeah.
Now, if I can create something with the Full Circle Project, which is designed to re-educate people from the ground up within the parameters of their own community and get enough funding to show that we can make a difference by buying back sections of threatened Amazon. I was there last month. I went to see these villages, these tribal people who are desperate for the West to take care because their lands are being destroyed. And they say, everybody we speak to, they all come and look, but nobody does anything. We don't know what to do. We don't have any money. What can we do? They're pulling our forest down and they're turning it into charcoal. They're planting palm oil. It's destroying the forest. It's destroying the soil. Then they're mining it. They're selling topsoil and sand. They're turning the Amazon jungle into a desert because nobody's paying attention. Now, we can create a fund. We can buy a section and say, look what we did. Look what we, the people, just did. We just saved this big section. Now, let's save some more. If people think they can own the earth and the corporations think they can own the earth and it gives them the excuse to rape this earth, then let's we, the people, buy this earth and put it in a trust where it can't be touched. Well, these are the things I want to do with the Full Circle Project, and it's got to come down to empowering the people. The only people who are going to save this planet and change the direction that we're going in is the people. But rather than do that, you know, like the human race is sailing off the cliff. And rather than grabbing the rudder and steering ourselves back to safe waters, we're arguing over who rigged the sails, we're arguing over who's steering the ship, or who the captain is, who the first mate is. We're just arguing and finding all these rabbit holes to go down instead of paying attention to ourselves and simply steering ourselves back to safe water by knowing who and what we are. That is the ultimate problem. That is the ultimate solution to the problem. Because, you know, everything, the whole out-of-control government, the whole corporate system, it's all fiction. They write their rules down on pieces of paper, and we believe it's real because we believe we have to pay attention. We are locked into this corporate system because we don't ever stand in the power of our flesh. We don't ever question these people as to who they are, where they get their power from, where they believe they can write rules on a piece of paper which are morally reprehensible and that I'm confined by those rules. How dare you do that? How dare you believe that you can control my life by writing words on a piece of paper when you only get your power from me because I elected you to office as a public trustee. So I put it to you that you are in breach of trust, even by enacting legislation that you believe can control my life or put me in a state of hardship in any way at all, or anybody in this country in a state of hardship in any way at all, then I need you to show cause why you should not be held in breach of trust and taken and tried for human rights violations under your own legal system. Show me that. Show me proof of claim that you have the ability to do what you're doing, and I'll go with you. But otherwise, you're going down. That's the attitude we need to take. Do not take a backward step to these people. They are public trustees. They have no control over your life. The only problem is that you have forgotten who and what you are. And it's time for you to wake up and pay attention, because this world is in a serious situation simply because the people will not pay attention to their surroundings and they don't know who they are. That's the problem. So that's what I want to do with this project. I mean, it's a big ask, but it's got to start somewhere, and there's no good pussyfooting around. There's no good going down these little movements and creating these little things and all this sort of stuff. We need grassroots action on the ground right now by people who care, and that's what this project is about. As you can see, I get quite passionate about it.
No problem. Max, where's Brisbane? What side of Australia?
It's on the east coast. I'm actually down from Brisbane. I'm down on the New South Wales, Queensland border, about 50 or 60 miles south of Brisbane. But yeah, lovely, lovely area that I'm in. Beautiful volcanic area. Lovely. East coast.
Yeah. Fred, this is Steve. I'd like to say, Max, thanks again so much for coming on with us. Brisbane's a beautiful area, and I keep up with the news there. There's a company we're all familiar here in the States with, ABC, American Broadcasting Company, but ABC is also a big broadcasting company, Australian Broadcasting Corporation, and News Channel 7, News Channel 10, I keep up with those daily. And I wanted Max to share, which I'm sure he's aware of this, but the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is very much in the hearts of Australians, wanting to that's being done without their knowledge. And I wanted Max to share a little bit of his views on that. It's very alarming what's going on behind their backs. And Max, again, thanks for coming on, but I want you to talk a little bit about that, if you could.
TPP, look, this is globalization. This is what they're doing everywhere. It's the same as the North American Union, which will eventually become the American Union, which will encompass South America as well. You know, the European Union, the American Union, and you've got the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, which will basically lock this all into the Asia-Pacific Union. I mean, that's where it's going. It's just a stepping stone towards that. But the thing about the TPP is that it brings in America. It involves the United States in this group as well. So there's your controlling hand comes in, because it's the military. It's the military center of the world. So the United States, I mean, unfortunately, I mean, the American people are a wonderful, wonderful people, but the United States is the world's military. It's the New World Order military. It's the global terrorist. It goes out and creates war after war after war. But again, it's not the United States doing it. It's the banking cartels that puppet the system. You know, it's doing exactly what it's created to do. And unfortunately, the American people are getting the blame for it. But they don't know. People don't know. They don't realize what's going on. But yeah, the TPP is insidious. But it's essentially the same as the European Union. It's just a stepping stone to unite this area under one governance for the entire area. So you have these key regions that are all controlled from a central unit. This is what the New World Order is. It's a global corporatocracy, basically. That's what's happening, and that's what it's all about, basically. It's just, you know, it's a merging of the corporate entities. If you can look at each country as a big shop, a big corporation, big store, and you're the chattels in that store, you're the merchandise. And you've got, you know, Asia here, and you've got Indonesia here, and you've got, you know, the Philippines and Australia and New Guinea and all this stuff. You know, you're merging all these corporate entities into one big superstore. That's really what it is, you know. It's all corporate, the whole thing.
Exactly. Thank you for that. And the sad thing about it is it's being done behind the backs of the Australian public. And you know, thank goodness a lot of folks like yourself and many others that are standing up and saying, hey, you know, we don't want this here. And
unfortunately, it's all but over for Australia. At the moment, they're cutting a hole through the Barrier Reef for a big port. A lot of it is for coal seam gas, but a lot of it also is for coal, just plain out, flat out coal. So, okay, why are they cutting a hole through one of the world's largest living organisms? I think there's only one organism which is bigger than the Great Barrier Reef, and that is a mycelium organism. But it's a huge organism, and they're cutting a hole through it. It's a World Heritage Area in order to build a port to ship coal and coal seam gas. Where's all this coal going to come from? Well, the Australia's food bowl, the Darling Downs, the most fertile region in Australia, most of it has been sold to China. And they're going to hack it up and turn it into a coal mine. So Australia isn't going to be able to grow any of its food. This is where all the coal is going to come from to be shipped out through the Barrier Reef. I believe there's also been a huge oil find down in Cooper Pedy. I'm trying to confirm that it's real, but it seems to be. But apparently there's been a lot of oil found down in South Australia. Like apparently it's like something like 233 billion barrels, like bigger than Saudi Arabia, biggest oil find in the world. I mean, it puts Australia on the map as a world oil power with 12% of the world's oil, which is a huge, huge chunk of oil. This will change the entire geopolitical landscape of the planet if this is true and it comes off. But the research I'm doing on it, it seems to be that it is. We're just not hearing much about it on the mainstream media, but the financial sections and oil sections seem to be talking about this. So have to see what's going on with that as well. But, you know, Australia is basically been turned into a big mine. I mean, uranium, coal seam gas, and now oil. You know, it's basically over for this country. We've got in Queensland here, Queensland, Australia, there's been all these threats of bikies and all this sort of stuff going on. They've brought in these new laws that they call bikie laws, gang laws, to protect the people from violent gangs, of course. Well, what these laws basically say is that any more than three people in a group can be seen as a gang. And, you know the way they work. They can basically arrest you because there's four of you, and they can probably prosecute you under terrorism charges as well. And this is because, and if you look, read the legislation as well, it doesn't say anything about bikies. It's just people. More than three people in a group can be seen as a gang, and they can be subject to mandatory arrest. And this is because they're just about to turn the entire tree of Queensland into a big open cut coal mine, the entire food bowl. And when people go to protests to protest what this corporate rape is happening, the police, whose job now is not to protect the people, but to protect corporate corruption and toe the government line, these people will get arrested and prosecuted under terrorism charges for simply trying to protect Australia's food bowl and stop the corporate rape of this country. That's why these laws have been brought in. I mean, they're having the G20 summit in Queensland later this year. I think they're also having the Commonwealth Games here in the next couple of years. And you'll wait. And after the Commonwealth Games are done, I'd say, which I think is 2015 or 2016, that will be when it all turns to hell. They'll do the Commonwealth Games. They'll make it look all pretty and everything's great. And then once the Games are done, they'll open up all these coal mines and you will see this whole state just turn to hell. And that's why these new laws have come in. And it's being done very, very sneaky. But it's also being done right under the noses of the people. And also very interesting, local councils in Australia, they receive their information from one particular central group. And if you look at this central group, you'll find that it gets its orders straight from the UN. So basically, you've got the United Nations undermining the country from within via the mechanism of local councils. And Australia, I mean, the word Australia itself, AU is gold. Australis is southern land, great southern land, southern adjunctment. LIA is corporation. So basically, you've got the corporation for the southern adjunctment for gold. It's a mine. They created this place to be a mine, and that's what they're turning it into right under the nose of the people.
He's exactly right, Fred. He's right on with what he said, and it's really sad what's happened there. But I keep up with the news here daily, and Max, he's 100% right.
Yeah,
thank you, Max.
It's very sad. I've been trying to wake up my countrymen for a long time. Unfortunately, they're caught up in the television and beer and barbecue and the beach and all the pretty girls. And it's very, very unfortunate. the lucky country, we've got heaps of space. No, no, don't worry. No worries, mate. It's all good. Don't stress, you know. No worries. That's the common phrase, no worries. But they're just not paying attention. And they're beautiful, beautiful people. And they're about to get put through a meat grinder, and so many of them are going to suffer. And it really saddens me. But what do you do? What do you do? I mean, I call the place Apothralia. They're just apathetic, but they can't help it. They're dosed down on fluoride, ridiculous amounts of fluoride in some of the water systems in this country. I'm fortunate. I live out in the country on tank water. I don't have anything to do with the town water. But yeah, they're beautiful people. And they're just not paying attention, and they're about to get a lesson in why they should have, you know. And it's just sad to see. It's very sad to see.
Max, what is it? I mean, you mentioned Australia, but how? I mean, things can turn very quickly, as we've seen through events throughout history. And I think the message that you're trying to instill here is one of extreme hope, but at the same time, the need for people, average people at the local level, to not just educate themselves, but empower themselves as to who they truly are in a natural, organic sense, spiritually, naturally, organically. You couldn't have a more simpler focus there. And, I've also want to share this. We talk about it all the time on the call, the power of synchronicities, the power of correspondence, and the things that happen. But the way that we met on this call had nothing to do with anything that I or anyone on this call did. It had to do with one man who had this one idea. His name is Aaron Russo, to produce this film. And we all got behind that one man's idea. And we didn't realize it, but that one idea, you know, organized, self-organized, galvanized a grassroots movement that still is out there today. And it's wakened a lot of people up, and it's gone into many other things. But I see a very hopeful, synchronistic, progressive thing. A progress is being made, I think, to awaken people. When I look back 7 years ago, for what we knew years ago compared to today, is a small fraction. And I don't want to be disempowered, but the reason why we have this call is to get people on here just like you to share these ideas every week and to keep the drumbeat of hope going.
Well, yeah, you know, it is a hopeful time because it's an opportunity. We do have a lot to fear, but I mean, the Australian people, again, I feel very sad for them, for what the future holds for them. But again, these are very, very staunch people. And I think once the meat grinder starts, if they've got, you know, if we can instill a little bit of respect into the community, if people can start respecting each other, this is why my focus is so much on community. Because if you've got that strength of knowing the people around you are your friends and that they respect you and you respect them, then you've got a strong front. You can stand against anything. And Australian people are very, very staunch people. You look at the wars where the Australian people have been involved, Australian men have been involved. They're always right out on the front line. Don't mess with the Aussies. You know, they'll come and kick your butt. Because once you rouse them, these people will move mountains once they're aroused. But it's getting them aroused because of the fluoride, because of the television, because of the mobile phones, all the EMR, and all the stuff that they're bombarded with, which is keeping them docile. And they don't know it. They don't know they're docile. And because they're trained in this social and economic manner, and they're trained to, it's all about physical this and physical that and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they've got this distorted view of themselves. If you try to suggest to people that maybe they're not thinking real clearly and that they're a little bit dumbed down or docile down and a little bit medicated, they take it as an affront against their ego and they want to fight you or whatever, you know. So it's a hard thing. It's a hard nut to crack. But I'm confident that when the doo-doo really hits the fan, a lot of these people are going to stand up. You know, unfortunately, they've been disarmed, And unfortunately, there's new screening processes with the police, whereby the police, I mean, no one with an IQ over 104 even gets accepted into the police in this country anymore. So they're just over double digits. They're not real bright, the police. And they don't question authority at all. They're just brainless thugs. And that's the problem. So that's the problem in America as well. I mean, we can wake the people up and we can expose the criminality of government and everything, and we can attempt to circumvent the legal system and step above it. But the problem is that you've got all these armed thugs who just aren't bright enough to realize that you're acting on their behalf as well. You're trying to change the direction the planet's going, and the real criminals are the guys who give them their orders. They're just not bright enough to look at things this way, and they're trained to never question authority. They've got this hierarchical system, and that's the problem. That's this, like this, this brick wall of stupidity that we have to find a way through, unfortunately. And a lot of them are probably good people, but they're just trained to be what they are. And that is, unfortunately, one of the biggest issues that we face in the Western world is the mindless attitude and the blind obedience of our elected peace officers or employed peace officers, you know. Because they don't keep peace anymore. They enforce legislation. Big difference.
You're familiar with Larkin Rose and his book, The Most Dangerous Superstition, I'm sure, right?
Look, I've heard of it, but I can't say that I've read it, no.
Yeah, well, he goes right to that point throughout the book. The most dangerous superstition is this belief, this mythical belief in authority.
Yeah.
It's inculcated and drummed in and beaten into us from the time we were, you know, little tiny infants from day one.
Day one.
The educational systems.
Yep. Even before the educational system. It's in our parents and
our
siblings.
Do not question authority. Do not question it.
To our parents and our siblings, you know, you touch that, your parents smack you, you know, and you're one, you know, straight away. Do not question authority. Do what you're told. Always. Because they're trained. That's the way they were trained. I think it's reality, you know. Gee, it's right from birth. We've got that ingrained into us. And we're always built up and let down and built up and let down and built up and let down. Through the schooling system, you notice that? You go to kindy and you're the preschool, you're the new kid there, yeah. But the end of preschool, you're the kind of, you're the boss. And then you're in grade one and suddenly you're the baby of the school, you're being looked after by the seniors. Then you get to be a senior in the end and hey, you're the top notch. You're looking after the younger kids. Then you leave primary school, bang, you're demoted back to level one again. Oh my God, now I'm one of the little grommets again. And you go up through high school, suddenly you're a senior in high school. Hey, you're in control of the other kids. Hey, I'm pretty cool. And you go out into the workforce, bang, you're a grommet again. You know what I mean? Build up, let down, build up, let down, build up, let down. And how build up you get is how much you lick butt, how much you respect authority, how much you regurgitate what you're told. That's what makes you a success. Training, programming, the whole lot, right from day one.
Wow. Well, well, Max, you were telling me, or in the video, you actually were. How long did that experience with the radio station here in America last? Was it internet radio? Was it a regular radio station? What was that?
Well, I'm still doing it. I'm doing American Voice Radio. It's a station based in Kansas. It's a real radio station. It goes out to you can tune in.
Okay.
I only listen to it, or you can stream it on the internet as well. When I was in 2008, I was hitting chat rooms and I was doing all this stuff, you know. I'm thinking, gee, it'd be great to be a radio host. This is how because I don't know how to harness the power of the internet. I was going to news chat rooms and Yahoo chat rooms. I'm chatting for hours on these threads, having these big long threads, which end up with arguments with people, you know, people trying to shout you down and tell you you're a conspiracy theorist and listen to that, you know. I'm thinking, how the hell do you get the message out? I mean, I've got the internet here. How do you harness the power of the internet? I'm thinking, you know, what I need to do is forget about the internet. I need to be a radio host. You know, I thought about being a national radio host. Wouldn't it be great if I could just be speaking on air and telling people the truth? Wouldn't that be great? Oh, well, never going to happen. You know, so I opened up a 9/11 truth site. And I got contacted by a guy in Perth because I had that 9/11 truth site. I got contacted by this guy and he said, hey, man, I love your site. Here's a video I made about the Bali bombing. And he sent me this video, and it was on YouTube. And I'm going, YouTube? Isn't that place where those school kids upload their home videos? YouTube's just a place where kids go for their video stuff or something. Never really been there. Didn't really ever looked at YouTube. Thought it was a school kid thing, you know. He sent me this clip that he'd done on the Bali bombings, and I'm going, oh, that's on YouTube. And I looked at it, and it's just a slideshow with him talking over it. I thought, wow, YouTube, I didn't know that you could do this on YouTube. I've got a YouTube channel that I opened up, and I put up a little gaming video there for my son last year by the name of AOD Scarecrow. That was my clan name. The clan was AOD. My name in the clan was Scarecrow, so that was the name of the YouTube channel. So, shit, I could do this. I could do a slideshow. Now, I learned how to do it. I learned how to make video clips because I made that video clip for my son. I didn't even know why I was learning how to make video clips, but now I've done that. Hey, I know how to make a video clip now because I've got the knowledge. It just synchronistically happened. Okay, so I made a video clip. I'll make it like a movie. I can only upload 10 minutes to YouTube at a time. So I'll make a 90-minute movie. I'll make 9 parts. So I started making this thing called The Big Picture, which is just a slideshow. And I made it in such a way that it kind of looked like a movie because I was kind of arty. Yeah, why just put up a clip? Why not make it look like put credits on it, put a title, make it look all nice, you know? Because I'm an arty person. I like to do that sort of stuff. I enjoy it. So I did that. I put up 5 parts of this, and then I thought, I wonder if anyone's even watching it. Why am I bothering? And it was, 1 of 9, 2 of 9, 3 of 9, got up to 5 of 9, and then I started getting all these messages on YouTube saying, where's the rest of it? Where's the other 4 parts? And I'm like, wow, people are watching it. So I finished it. I made it. And a lot of people watched it, and I thought, well, this is interesting. So then I made another one called Fight the New World Order I made one called New World Order, The Final Solution, which was a 25-minute film. And at the end of it, I thought, well, the solution is non-compliance. And I thought, well, I better elucidate on that one. So I put out a third one, 25 minutes, called Fight the New World Order with Global Non-Compliance. And that just went totally viral. Just went everywhere, got 20,000 views in a weekend. People were saying this is the most important film on the internet. And because of that, I got contacted by a radio host in this station in Kansas. Hey, I want to have you on. I'm going, oh, is this a hit piece? What do you want to interview me for? I'm just some dude in Australia, you know. Made a slideshow on YouTube. What's this about, you know? Well, they had me on, and I spoke on the show, and he contacted me the next day, said the phones just went off. Everyone loves you. They love your voice. They love what you said. We want to have you on next month. So, okay, back on next month. And then he said, look, that was great. I want you to be my regular Wednesday guest. Okay, so I can do this. So I was the regular Wednesday guest for a month. And then he said, look, I've got to go away for a week. Can you host one show for me? And I went, oh, God, I don't know if I can do that. You know, he said, okay, I'll write it out. So I kind of wrote out an essay for myself. Pretty nervous here. Gee, radio host, my God, what am I going to do? America's listening, you know. Mm-hmm. And I had this kind of show prepared. And if you listen to my first show way back in the beginning of 2009, very, very wooden. And I was kind of half reading and half talking. I'm trying to appear relaxed, but I was so nervous, you know. Mm-hmm. And after I did that show, the station contacted me and said, you're great. Everybody loves you. We want to give you a show. I went, okay. So completely synchronistically, through no intention of my own, I just had that thought, gee, you want to be a radio host. Wouldn't that be a good idea? Then I got contacted by somebody, and then this led to that, and that led to this, and then suddenly I'm being interviewed, and suddenly I've offered a show. 2 months after I had the thought, I'm a radio host talking to America on a real radio station. I'm thinking, how the hell did that happen? You know? So like I said, when an idea is born, if it wants to happen, and you notice the synchronicities around you, it will provide you the means for that idea to happen. But if you try to create a structure, like if I thought, okay, I'm going to be a radio host, okay, I'll go to radio school, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll apply for this, I'll apply, you know. No. Just watch. Just watch what happens. If it's a good idea and it wants to happen, it will show you the way. And don't make too much of a rigid structure around your ideas. Sure, plan things. Don't just sit there and wait for it to happen. Get on with your life. But just pay attention to what happens around you once the idea is born. Because you may well be presented with opportunities which will lead to the fruition of that idea. And it happens to all of us. We just don't pay attention.
Max, how do you characterize 2013 to 2014? If you put this on a scale, you said you've been actively doing this since, I know it goes way back prior to 2009, but describe... You know, we talked about the year 2012, all of that nonsense regarding the Mayan calendar, and I like the Mayan calendar myself, but there was a whole, you know, everybody was holding their breath for a while there at the end of the year, stuff that happens, But do you feel that something is up this year versus last year? We keep talking about this feeling that something is going to happen. I don't think we should wait or hold our breath either, but where are we on the timeline right now?
Well, look, you know, a lot of people, I think 2012 was promoted as being going to be something that was huge, precisely to let people down. I said in my film, The Big Picture, that I put out in 2008, I said in that film that in 2012, people are expecting the world to change in 2012, and if they don't pay attention, the world will change, because it will be when the New World Order begins in earnest. And basically, that's what we've seen happen, you know, what we've seen since 2012. And you'll find that a lot of the alternative research community, a lot of the New Age gurus and all these people who are promoting all this 2012 stuff have just gone silent suddenly. And a lot of the alternate research community, a lot of alternate radio stations have imploded in the last year because everybody felt let down by the 2012 event, which was exactly why it was publicized to be what it was. To me, it was a significant event because it brought us to the tipping point. And that's what I think it always was. That's what I said in the film back in 2008. It's a tipping point. This is what I suggested in my film, The Awakening, as well. So, you know, human consciousness jumps in fits and spurts, and we're coming to this date, and this is an opportunity for us to do this. But again, you know, it's got to get dark for us to embrace the light. You can't have one without the other. And I think what 2013 has done is it's cleared out a lot of the rubbish. It's really, things have revealed themselves in 2013. A lot of people who claimed to be connected have revealed themselves as not being so. Even in my personal life, people have exposed themselves. Things have just, fallen into place exactly the way they're supposed to. Through tragedy has come joy. There's been all sorts of things have happened. I think it's been a real, cleaning process has happened in the last 12 months. And I think that this year we're going to make a difference. I really do. You know, this is what this Full Circle project is, and I'm not trying to promote myself with this either, because the project isn't about me. It's about you. It's about everybody. But this, again, is an idea. It's an idea that wants to happen. You know, people want to be free. They just don't know how to do it. But if we network, we can discover our own freedom. We can rediscover ourselves. You know, we can create a world based on respect, and that's what this project's all about. And it's just an idea whose time has come, but there is no movement that can be controlled. And I think this is what it's all been leading towards. You know, we're on a knife edge here. We absolutely are. We could go one of either direction, but I don't think we will be locked down. I don't think that the powers that be are going to be able to get away with what they're doing. The powers that believe they be, because that's all it is. I think people are discovering that it's actually only a small group of people. There's actually a lot more to reality than what they believe there is, and that we can change things anytime we want simply by respecting each other. And I think that's what this is about. I think people are realizing, you know, they were waiting for a big event. They're waiting for a big universal nanny to come along and save them. You know, Superman's going to come. Something's going to happen. I don't have to do anything because it's all imminent. It's all about to change without my participation. You know, I'm going to ascend. I'm going to the rapture, all this sort of stuff. You know, what makes you think you're worthy of ascension if you haven't even paid attention to the reality in which you live, and it's turned into such a cesspool that you believe you need ascension simply because you haven't participated in it? What makes you think you're worthy of ascension? Why don't you participate in the world that you're in? Could be that you're in a 3D reality for a reason, and it could be that that reason is for you to participate in this reality. Let's try that, you know? Participate in being yourself, who and what you are. Don't be in this whole corporate, fictional, paper-based world, measuring yourself up to all these standards that aren't your own, having these ideas about yourself that aren't yours. You're here to experience yourself. You're here to respect yourself and respect other people. See what we can create. Your human consciousness has incredible potential. And I think we're rediscovering that, and I think that's what this year is going to be about. I think it's been a huge cleaning process. The last year, I think we're about to have a big reset this year. I think this year, people are going to really realize that they've had enough and that they can change things very, very simply by simply changing their perspective. And that's what I hope to achieve with this project.
Max, were you a victim of the government school system?
I left school very, very early. I left school halfway through high school. I kept arguing with my teachers. I got kicked out of four schools. I have my own desk outside the principal's office for my last 6 months of school because no class would have me. I kept questioning what they were trying to teach me. I didn't like it. So, halfway through my exams, I just left. I was in grade 10, like third year of high school. Didn't do any college, didn't do any university. And the people say to me, Max, you're so knowledgeable and you're so articulate. Where were you educated? And I say, well, I wasn't. That's how come I know all this stuff, because they never got a hold of me, you know.
It's true.
Well, it is. I mean, even when I was going to school, for my last 2 years of school, I didn't attend any classes at all. I used to go to school. I'd get marked present, and then I'd go to my friend's place, and I'd play guitar all day, and I'd go to school at the end of the day, and I'd get marked present, and I'd go home. If I had to stay at school, once they caught me doing it, and I had to stay at school, they wouldn't let me leave the grounds because they had guards on the gate. I used to go into the library. I'd find out what topics were for the year. I'd go into the library and I'd read books on those topics and I'd educate myself. I wouldn't attend any of the classes. And I'd go in and I'd do the exams and I'd get an A in the exam after not attending any of the classes. And the teachers used to hate me. Absolutely hate me. And I would question every single thing they tried to tell me. I'd say, excuse me, sir, I've just read a book which has given a completely different perspective on what you've just told me, and you should be presenting that to the class as the most commonly accepted theory, because there are other theories which question that theory very, very much. And you should be giving us an objective look at history rather than giving us this little box view that you believe we should know. I suggest that you look at the entirety of history and look at all of the theories regarding that event. And they would just look at me and go, who is this kid? Get this kid out of my class, you know? And,
there's a lot more kids, like that in high school now than there was back in that day. That's a blessing.
Well, yeah, that's just the way I was. And so, yeah, four schools I got kicked out of. They didn't like me very much, but that's okay. Yeah. It worked out fine.
But you didn't like them either, so.
Well, it isn't I didn't like them. I was offended by them. I thought that they should be showing us more respect. I'm not here to become subservient to your authority. I thought I came here to learn. Why aren't you teaching me? You know, they wouldn't like it when you spoke to them like that. You know, it doesn't matter about the uniform. It doesn't matter about this. Why do I have to call you sir? Why aren't you even teaching me what I need to know? How am I going to go out and function in the world with this knowledge? You're not teaching me anything about life. You're not teaching me anything about who I am or how to interact with society or reality. What you're training me to do is to be a functional little cog in a corporate machine, and I don't approve of it. And they just wouldn't like it. You know?
Yeah.
I was saying almost
really
exactly those
that.
Words. I remember saying almost exactly those words to one of my teachers when I was about 16 or 17, you know. The class all cheered and clapped, and he's going, get out of here, get him up the office, give him
a
cane.
Oh, my God. Wow, we need to make a movie out of your life.
Oh, it was classic. They made me class president once. Like, they voted me to be class president. I'm like, no way, I don't want the gig. And they're going, well, you've got it. And I'm going, well, I don't want it. I'm not going to attend any of the meetings. Why would you give me this position? You want me to go and meet with the teachers? Are you kidding me? I don't want this gig. What are you? If you want someone to run the place, you go and run it. I can't run things for you. I don't want to be class president. And they're going, well, you are. I go, well, sorry, but I'm never going to be attending any of the meetings. it was really interesting, really interesting school life, I must admit. But it was good. I mean, I didn't like it at the time, but when I look back on it, I think, wow, you know, pretty radical stuff. I mean, no wonder they hated me.
So, Max, I'm trying to guess, stab in the dark here. Are you, I'm 55, Dee Dee is in her 50, Dee Dee is 65, Steve is about 58, right, Steve, 59?
No, he's 60.
60, ooh, that's right. Sorry, Steve. But we're all kind of in the zone. Are you in the 50s, 60s, or?
56 years old, brother.
56. Okay, good. All right.
I think it's 56. Yeah, 1957. I'm bad with time.
You're born in 57. Okay.
Yeah, 56, I think. Yeah. Maybe 57 this year.
You'll turn 57 this year. Okay. Got it. Wow. Yeah, we're in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
Age-wise. That's great.
Well, we got a lot to answer for our generation. I mean, I think it's important that we stand up and make a noise about all this sort of stuff, because it's our generation that's basically allowed it all to happen through no fault of our own. We were trained to do it. We didn't know. We had blinkers on. We were told reality was different to what it is. But, you know, it's up to us to at least try to provide some sort of doorway out of this situation for our children. You know, the other option is to just let the world continue the way it is. And unfortunately, not enough people can see the danger that they're in. And I think once you have this information and once you can see reality for what it is, a certain responsibility comes with that information. And that's what I tend to do. I mean, I want to leave a legacy behind, which means, I mean, maybe I'm being selfish, but I want my life to make a difference. I want to leave something behind which has improved reality by my presence in it. I think it's important that we all do this. I think it counts. Everything you do matters. It does. It really, really does.
Yep.
And we've forgotten that. And I want everything I do to matter. And I want to help. I want to make a difference. I don't want to leave the human drama while it's still so unresolved and while it has no pathway to remedy. I want to at least try to help it find some remedy to this situation. And I feel that's my purpose. That's why I'm here. I think actually that's why everybody's here. They've just forgotten that. You know, I mean, ultimately, we should be here to experience the art of our lives, but unfortunately, we've allowed this corporatocracy to creep over our reality and superimpose itself over our consciousness. So now we need to find remedy for this situation so we can get back to the artistic expressions of creation that we're supposed to be, and that we could be, and we have every opportunity to be through all of this negativity. It is providing us a wonderful opportunity, best opportunity we've ever had for freedom. We need to embrace that opportunity with both hands and march forward with this, you know.
What you're basically saying is that there is no material remedy, but there is a spiritual remedy.
Yeah, as long as you apply that spiritual understanding to the material world that you live in by not taking a backward step to these people and understanding the meaning of sui generis, the uniqueness of yourself. Now you can have a spiritual understanding, but you've got to apply it to the physical world in which you live, because the fictions that bind you in the spiritual world, these are etheric, these are spiritual etheric beings, the system itself, it's a life form of its own. It's a mental projection, you know what I mean? It's a life form. You've got to address that. And because it exists in the etheric realm, but it controls the physical realm, therefore you've got to apply your spiritual understandings to that physical realm to defeat this etheric interference that's taken it over. You know what I'm saying? You've got to have balance.
Yep.
Too many people are locked in the spiritual, saying, oh, I've got to reach this fifth density or whatever. They're forgetting they're in a physical world. There's no balance there. You've got to have balance between the two.
Yeah.
There's no good having spiritual understandings if you don't apply them to the world in which you live, because you are in a 3D reality for a very, very good reason, and you're supposed to participate in it with these spiritual understandings that you're gaining through this experience. Now, I think it would be very, very simple to fix the world if we did apply our spiritual understandings to real life, because too many people don't. They say these things, they feel these things, they project the right image to people, and they've still got stuff with others. They've still got people they hate. They write hate mail, they open websites and say all these nasty things about people, they attack others, they point the finger and say, he's a plant, he's a this, he's a that, oh, Illuminati, rah, rah, rah. All stuff, all bullshit, all yours, all rubbish. You know, you are a unique expression of creation. You are sui generis, and so is everybody else. So you have no right to interfere in anybody else's experience, you know. All you should do is respect them for having the courage to be here to have the experience, because ultimately we probably all made the choice to come here anyway. So, you know, where's the problem that we have? We find that all of these problems are contrived if we look deep enough, and that's what I'm encouraging people to do, you know.
Yeah, I think that's our job here. I think you're absolutely right, to put the light of day on these things, not, you know, to be aware of why we're here and what we can do to change it is just to know how it is, how it works and who we are, to get outside of the veil of all the lies and the controls. And once you do that and create the freedom in your life, then you're more powerful just walking in a room than you are doing just about anything, because people feel that energy and they just, it snaps them awake, you know, where you can just, you know, they don't know they're waking up, but suddenly they're starting to look at things a little differently, maybe not even knowing why, but it spreads, you know, it's like a good virus. It just spreads throughout the room, just like opening the door in a dark room and flooding the room with light. You don't flood the light room with darkness. It never works that way.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's kind of, we've been trained to believe it does. You know, that's kind of what they've done to our consciousness. They've flooded it with darkness in the form of a veil, whereby we can't see through this veil. We can't see ourselves, but it's there. It wants you to see it, but all you have to do is look. But people don't look because they don't even realize that it's there. They don't know the veil's there, so therefore they don't know anything's behind the veil. That's the problem, you see.
Yeah,
you know.
Once you open a little crack in their awareness, whether it's through shows like this or what you're doing, you know, there's so much of that going on. Yeah, I have great faith in the forward movement of all this.
Absolutely. And what you said there, the importance of what you said there is something else, a little crack, just a little crack.
Mm-hmm.
We turn on the floodgates. Mm-hmm. You know, we start mentioning this sort of stuff to people, and as soon as they show any interest at all, we turn a fire hose on them. And we just flood them with information, and they go straight into fear and shock, and then they shut down. Because you can't...
Yeah, their eyes glaze over.
Yeah, you can't tell someone the truth. The truth will never be told. What you've got to do is shine a crack. Shine a light, give them half a glass, put that little bit of illumination into their lives and give them the opportunity to discover the truth for themselves. Point them towards a doorway, but allow them to open it and walk through, because real truth has to be discovered. It has to be realized. You can't ever tell anybody the truth. And really with what we're saying here, with the concepts that we're bringing to people, this whole new understanding of what you are and how reality works, what this corporate system is, how you're enslaved by your birth certificate, the whole thing. What you're essentially saying when you bring this information to someone is that everything about your life up to this point has been a lie, because you've been looking at reality from the wrong perspective. Everything that you've done up to this point is completely and utterly meaningless, because you never understood what reality was. You were never given an even playing field from the moment you were born, and therefore you need to readjust your thinking to what reality actually is, so you can start from scratch right now. And this is an incredibly confronting thing for people. And that's why you can't turn a fire hose on, because you shut people down. You know, all the people out here that are asleep, that are glazed over, have the potential to be fully awake. These are good people. Most of them are good people. 3% of the world are born psychopaths. About 8% of the world are born awake. They can't be programmed. The rest of them, the sheeple, for want of a better word, the masses, the normal, everyday, average people, most of these people are simply programmed, but they have the potential to be good, honest, decent, caring, loving, giving people. You can't blame them for the state they're in. You can't blame them or attack them for being asleep. They're asleep because they've been trained to be that way. They're just not part of that 8%. You can't judge them for that, but they all have the potential to be your ally if they're approached in the right way and they're given the information in a kind and gentle enough manner. In a way that they can discover the truth for themselves. And that's your job, to lead by example in all that you do. Be a shining light. Be a pleasure to be around. Give these people little snippets of information. But most definitely, lead by example. This is the most important thing that you can possibly do. Stand in your power, and when you question authority, do it in the right way. Do it in a polite way. Do it in an eloquent way, a logical way. Like I said before with the name. You can't ask me to claim ownership of this name. You're asking me to commit fraud. Yeah, you know, just going through the whole thing logically to show that what you're doing here is entrapment. Hey, if you want to arrest me, fine, take me away. You're a slave trader. We'll pursue it through that alley. You know what I mean? They've got nowhere to go if you approach it in the right way. And you can help people understand this sort of stuff, but you've got to be gentle with them, because if you turn on the fire hose, you shut them down. And once they're shut down, they usually never, ever come back online. They're too scared to ever look. They don't want to know, even if it's true. They're too scared. Because, you know, a lot of people just come on with fear, and they go, well, wow, whatever he knows, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be fearful like that, so I don't want to know, even if it's true, and I'm never going to look there again. They close the door. And that's the danger that we face, you know. So you've got to be very careful in your approach to people, I think.
Absolutely. Great point.
This is Jay from North Carolina. Can you hear
me?
Go ahead,
Jay.
Yeah, what you've been saying is right on the money all night long. And in the United States here, we're trying to take back the court systems through common law grand juries. And it's the common law people asserting their power over our servants. And I'd like you to ask you to go check out this website. It's called NationalLibertyAlliance.org.
Okay.
And you'll see what we're doing there, but it's exactly the same page, exactly the same thing you're talking about.
Yeah, well, you know, it's stepping above their system, you know. You got to step above it all. I mean, even ultimately, common law is fiction as well, but I mean, it's a stepping stone. You know, I mean, ultimately, I believe there's one law, and that is God's law, whatever you perceive God to be. I'm not particularly religious, but I believe there's a creator of some sort, even if it's me. I don't know, whatever, you know. But you can sum God's law up in three words, eight letters: do no harm. So I'm not questioning authority in that way. I'm not suggesting anybody break the law. All I'm suggesting is that public trustees who get their power from me stop instigating legislation which causes harm to me because they're breaking the law. You know, if you're enacting legislation that causes harm based on authority you get from me, then who's breaking the law? You know, show me why you shouldn't be held in breach of trust and taken and tried for human rights abuses under your own legislation. I don't give you the power to do that. You know, but we've forgotten all this stuff. We've forgotten that they're just trustees. We've forgotten that we're actually living flesh. You can't claim the name. As soon as you've claimed a name, you've committed fraud, you're in their jurisdiction. It's not your name, it's their name, the name they gave to you. It's the name you use, your calling, you operate with this in their system, with their calling that they gave you, it's not yours. All this sort of stuff. I mean, just understanding how it works. It's word magic. They lock us into the system with word magic. But, you know, you can circumvent the whole thing by simply knowing that you're alive. People forget that bit. So
you and me and most of the people on this call are on the exact same page. But like I say, check out that website, nationallibertyalliance.org, and see what we're doing here and trying to do here right now. But it's...
Well, good on you, brother. Good on you. It's good on you for getting out there and making a noise and doing your bit. It's good to see. You know, we need more of it. That's what we need. We need action on the ground from grassroots people just like yourself. So good on you. Respect.
Yeah. And I got to go. I'm a truck driver. I'm getting loaded in California right now, getting a load of lettuce. So I got to go check in and get my paperwork signed. So I'll be listening on the call, but I just wanted to make that comment real quick.
Well, thank you very
thanks
much.
Thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for what you're doing down under.
Well, my pleasure, brother. Thanks for listening, and thanks for what you're doing up there.
Okay. Peace to you. Power to the people.
Thanks, Jay.
Take care, Jay.
Anybody else would like to make a comment or question to Max?
Star 6, if you want to make a comment. We've got Carl Swenson in the wings, Fred, as well.
Oh, great. Carl's on. Great. Perfect. Carl, we're... I'm glad. That was the other thing I wanted to ask if Carl's on the line. Max, we have our second guest on the line. I know it took us about a half hour to get underway with you, but I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the call, presenting the idea, and we are going to spread this link, and I hope we can have you back on to go over maybe some follow-up steps as to what we can do in our local communities, because a lot of us are talking about exactly what you're doing. Go back to the basics, start local, and we can make a better world. So I think what you're presenting here, the Full Circle Project, has a lot of the tools that everyone needs to share to make it more hopeful, make it more empowering, and make our world truly a better place to live.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the call, brother. Thank you for inviting me on and giving me the opportunity to share it. And, yeah, it's a shame we were so hard late getting on, but thank you very much. And I hope this project does gain some legs. I think it will be a good platform for people, and thank you again for letting me share it.
And you're welcome to listen in. A gentleman, our next caller guest, Carl Swenson, is a perfect example, Max, of somebody who is walking the talk, doing something extremely powerful at the local level, organizing in a very positive way, and standing up and making a difference. And his name, Carl Swenson. Carl, thank you for coming on. I just wanted to introduce you to Max from all the way from Brisbane, Australia. The website that he's presented the idea is called the Full Circle Project. And I hope you guys can get together as well. The latest thing that Carl has launched, Max, is called the All States Organic Initiative. And he's on the call tonight to kind of bring us up to date on that initiative.
That sounds right up my alley, that one. So, yeah, it's the Full Circle Project. The website is fullcirclenow.net. Or you can go to my other website, thecrowhouse.com, and you'll find links there. I'll log back into the chat server and I'll have a listen to the call. But I'll have to log off Skype now because I've got other stuff I've got to do. But a pleasure to meet you, Carl.
Please come back again.
Yeah, this call is archived and we'll send you the archive link, okay?
Not a problem, brother. Not a problem. Thank you for having me on and thanks for helping me spread the message and good luck with all that you're doing.
Okay, thank you. We'll stay in touch.
Okay, bye-bye.